We're gonna try this and see what transpires. A bunch of different styles to fill our desires. It's gonna be super fun and full of wit. Robert Bacon is the host and he's full of it. We're gonna try it. After we like it, maybe we'll try it again. Maybe not though, podcast.
Welcome to Try This Podcast, a podcast where every week we have on a comedian and we do the podcast that they have always wanted to do. I'm Robert Bacon. This week, my guest is James Dugan. James just got back to Chicago from performing for Second City on a cruise ship for 4 months, so I was looking for an excuse to have him on because I need to make up for missed time with him. And we talked, and we realized that we've done a lot of things on this podcast, but we've never done a straight movie review style podcast. And with Batman vs. Superman in theaters, we thought, this would be the best time to try one out. It's a long podcast. Most movie review podcasts are. So, you know what? Let's just get straight to it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Movie Reviews.
Hey, everybody. This is James and Bacon versus Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. I, of course, am James Dugan.
And I am Robert Bacon.
And we are going to be decimating and just picking apart, ruining the film.
First of all, let me say that I think it ruined itself.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to ruin it.
Yeah, but for those of you that are listening and not watching through the window as we record this podcast, I used air quotes when I said the word film.
Also, before we get started, I just want to say that there are going to be major spoilers. So if you haven't seen it or don't know what happens in it because you haven't read the comic books or something, just a full heads up, we will ruin that.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, just continue on that course.
That's a good course.
That your life has taken.
You're gonna don't be like me and have your curiosity get the best of you. Because curiosity killed the cat, mm-hmm. And in this movie. Okay, so let's get right to it. So right now, Batman versus Superman,
yes,
is currently sitting at a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, but 70% of the people who saw it said that they liked it.
This does not make any sense to me.
Okay, explain.
It makes no sense to me, and I'll tell you because I am somebody that loves superheroes. Mm-hmm. I'm somebody that loves superhero movies.
Yeah.
I am somebody that loves Superman specifically, and I could not stand this movie.
Yep, I'm the same way. I don't really love superheroes.
Okay.
I only read one comic book series growing up. I only like Batman and Superman.
Okay.
Those are the only two that I ever got into. All the others were like, nah, too much for me and my dumb little brain. I got into Superman right when Superman died.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I think there was a big influx of comic book readers around that time.
Best-selling comic book of all time, Death of Superman, yeah.
That's when I got into that, and then they came back and they did that thing, and that's when I got into that. And then I was always just a fan of Batman because Batman the Animated Series was amazing.
Oh, yeah, what a fantastic show.
So I love these two characters. I was like, oh, I know this movie's going to be garbage, but mm-hmm. I really want it to be good, and it isn't.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people are saying that, like some people have said that Marvel paid off critics to write bad reviews about this. This is it's on Twitter, all this shit, which doesn't make any sense because superhero movies doing well helps every, like, if you're Marvel,
mm-hmm.
you want DC to do well because then it's like, oh, all these superhero movies are good, so we're going to keep seeing them. As soon as it starts getting shitty again, like it used to be back in the day,
mm-hmm.
people are like, oh, another superhero movie? It's probably going to suck.
Yeah, but also Marvel does not need to spend any money paying off critics to take DC down. Like, Marvel is so far ahead of DC in the movie universe right now.
They're killing it.
Marvel has not made a bad movie yet.
Okay. Well, some would say the Age of Ultron wasn't that great.
No, Age of Ultron was fine.
Okay.
Iron Man 2 was fine. Like, was, you know, all of these movies. Look up the Rotten Tomatoes ratings.
I think
those,
I guess, are fine.
Yeah.
Well, I did do some, so that just made me think. So, Batman versus Superman, so if it's sitting at a 29 right now as we're recording this, and a 70% of people who watched it, that is a difference of 41%.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, I wonder if there's any other movies that have that. Oh, how about movies that I know are absolute garbage?
Mm-hmm.
So, Grown Ups. 10% on Rotten Tomatoes. 62% of audiences like that movie. That is a 52% difference. That's more than Batman versus Superman. Grown Ups 2. Come on. 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. 54% of the audiences enjoyed that movie.
What is that based on? What is the audience? Is that just people that have a Rotten Tomatoes account and click,
yeah,
I liked this movie?
Yeah, I think so. That's a difference of 47%. Okay. Well, and then it just made me think, let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
Old Dogs. With Robin Williams, John Travolta, yeah, and Seth Green.
William H. Macy?
He's in that?
Isn't he?
I've...
Seth Green. I don't know if Seth Green is in that.
Seth Green's in Old Dogs.
Is he?
Yeah,
I know William H. Macy.
He gets attacked by a gorilla.
And I know Ray Liotta. Oh, no, wait. What am I thinking of? Wild Hogs.
You're thinking
is what
Wild
I'm
Hogs.
Thinking
don't
of.
Get those two. How dare you? How dare
Sorry,
you get
Old
those?
Sorry, Old Dogs, Wild Hogs.
That's the spiritual successor.
Yeah.
That got a 5% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
44% of audiences enjoyed that movie. That's a difference of 39%. So that's close to what we're talking about. So then it made me think, okay, let's go to like what's in movies right now that's mm-hmm. hot garbage. What's in theaters right now that's hot garbage?
Batman versus Superman.
And My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Oh.
25% Rotten Tomatoes. 65% of the audience enjoyed that. And that is 41%, exactly. So people go to movies wanting to like them is my idea. You paid money to see this. You kind of want to enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and also a lot of people, I think probably a lot of people will say, oh, well, I did like this about the movie.
Yeah.
And so maybe I did like the movie, or I'm a huge John Travolta fan, and that's why I liked Old Dogs. You know, something like that.
That's true.
But like I said earlier, this movie had everything that I want to like in a movie. It's got superheroes, and it's about comic books, and it even had a lot of very obscure references to comic books in it that I love lording my knowledge of over other people, and I hated all of them in this movie.
Cool, so let's just talk about that. Let's just jump into the movie. If you're going to bring that point up, I'm going to bring that point up right now.
Sure.
Of, I'm totally cool with that. I love those Easter eggs for people who are really into comic books. I feel like a lot of these movies need it because there's so much lore behind it. The problem with this movie is it spends a huge amount of time on those little Easter eggs,
mm-hmm.
on those things that do not matter.
Yeah.
And
doesn't do them in a subtle way either.
No.
It ham fists and it beats you over the head with them.
Yeah.
So that if you don't get it, then the scene makes no sense to you.
It makes no sense. Well, or it's just completely unnecessary when mm-hmm. we have the computer scene where we're introduced to the Justice League. I could have.
Thank you, Lex, for creating all of the logos and the names for the Justice League.
Video, like literally, the user interface on that is easier to use than the PlayStation interface. Just go through giant logos on things. I don't need to see short video clips of everything. Literally, that could have just been passed over in the thing of like, there's their logos.
Yes.
Oh, that's a hint.
Absolutely.
That's all you need. The movie's 2.5 hours long. I don't need 5 minutes on the next. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So many other things. And then if we're going to talk about that, anything else you want to say about that specifically?
Well, I can just, an example that I can point to of a good way to do that is, I think it's in X-Men 2, when they're scrolling through, they open up a computer with a bunch of, like, known mutants
mm-hmm.
in it, and it is just a shot where they scroll through, and if you know, there are a ton of great little Easter eggs in there for you.
Yeah.
But they don't dwell on it, they don't center the scene around it. It's just like, oh, Gambit, great, we're gonna, like, what a fun little thing.
Oh.
And which is absolutely what I would have been fine with. Just show us the logos, and that's enough of a hint
as to what's
gonna come.
And then if you don't, like, care about that or are knowledgeable about the logos, mm-hmm. then it goes past you and it doesn't ruin the story. Also, if you're gonna talk about X-Men, which X-Men was the, like, recent one where they went back in time?
That was Days of Future Past.
I'm going to be honest right here.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw an X-Men movie.
Before that one?
Saw that one. That was my first one. I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
And I know I was watching parts and I'm like, this is a reference to something else,
uh-huh.
but I've never seen anything.
Oh.
But it doesn't matter. That movie So this is an example of, like, people would be like, well, you just don't get it. Mm-hmm. It's this thing. Be like, no, you should make a movie that is enjoyable on its own.
Yes. Well, and also, let me tell you, you should watch the X-Men movies. They're very good.
After watching that one, I kind of, now it makes me want to go. And then I guess talking about that just makes me want to jump into my least favorite scene.
Let's talk about it. Let's go back and forth saying our least favorite thing about this movie.
For my first least favorite thing about the movie was actually a clip of this was released before the movie was released, mm-hmm. and it got me like, ooh, this is cool. And it's the dream sequence where Batman is tricked into thinking that he's going to get some kryptonite, and then he fights a bunch of guys with Superman logos, and then Superman comes down when he's tied up. And rips his heart out like Kano in Mortal Kombat 1. And I was like, ooh, this is cool. This is kind of, like, interesting. It turns out to be a dream sequence that has nothing to do with the movie.
Uh-huh.
And is clearly just a call to another, a different comic book where Superman... You told me this, actually.
Yeah.
Can you explain this to me?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a reference to Red Son, which is a very, very fun comic that's kind of like a what if. What if Superman landed in Soviet Russia rather than Kansas?
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it is. And so Superman is raised with the beliefs of the Soviets and is like a force for Russia. And in this world, Superman kind of rises to become a dictator of the world, and Batman is this like freedom fighter, guerrilla warfare kind of guy that opposes him. And that is how Batman dresses. He's in like that coat with the, like the desert garb. And he's great. And like Green Lantern is like a secret police in Red Son. So it's just a really cool alternate take. But what this scene seemed like to me is it almost seemed like they had shot a different script for the movie.
Yep.
And they had this scene that they just didn't want to throw away.
Yep.
And so they put it in as a dream sequence.
Yep. Just a hey everybody, hey people, fans of this comic book, don't you like this? Hey
also,
everybody else, it's really confusing.
It's a dream sequence inside a dream sequence.
Yep.
And in the dream sequence, he is knocked out and wakes up still in the dream sequence.
Yep.
Before waking up
again
in another dream sequence and then waking up in reality. And for fans of Inception out there,
Inception's great.
Yeah, this is just a nice little pocket of Inception for you in the movie.
Also, to call it a reference to that series of comic books is a reference. It's like a slight thing.
Yes.
This is a whole part of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see that movie. Cool. Make that movie some other time or something. It was so unnecessary. The movie's already too long. You're cutting out other important, awesome things that we could see.
Yes.
And then for him to be visited by the Flash?
The Flash, we're thinking. It seems like the Flash, and the Flash is like warning him about
movie vague way. You've always been right about him.
Yes.
Not saying Superman. Lois Lane is the key. This series just shows how lazy the writing was.
Yeah. Well, it's so this is now a reference to the Injustice storyline.
Oh my god.
And also in the comments on this podcast, go ahead and point out everything I'm getting wrong.
Please don't. I don't care.
So in the Injustice storyline, Lois Lane is killed, which forces Superman, which like drives Superman over the edge, and he becomes a like warlord that is that is ruling over the Earth. Very similar to Red Son. I mean, that's kind of why they combined them. But that's what Flash is saying. Is he's like, you were right about him, because there's also there's this whole thing about how Batman always has contingencies in case anything happens.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think of what that storyline is called. I think is it Doom? It might just be called Doom, where somebody breaks into the Batcave and opens up his files that he has about how to kill every member of the Justice League.
Yeah, you told me about that a long time ago. And that's very interesting,
too. And that's really cool. So
there's
so much
interesting stuff in this folklore.
And they did none of it.
They did none of the interesting things.
That's what made me... This is why I don't understand why people like this movie. I feel like some things happened and you're like, oh, that's cool. I feel like, oh, God. If 54% of people thought Grown Ups was a good movie, I can see how 70% of people would think that Batman vs. Superman
and,
was
a and
movie.
I think that a lot idiots. Of it was, you know, Superman fans are always so ready to defend everything because he is the most hated on superhero of all time.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and so I have this one friend, Christine, if you're listening, we've talked about it, and you haven't budged me, but I totally respect your opinion about this. and we've been talking because she's a huge Superman fan. I'm a huge Superman fan. We have I loved Superman Returns, which I know a lot of people didn't like.
I think that came out when I was like 16 or 17. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was 2006 when it came out, so yeah. You were not 16 then.
Lies to your face. Yeah. I think when I saw it, I liked it, but then when I watched it again, I kind of like, meh.
Okay.
Meh on it. I don't hate it.
And then I also liked, I didn't hate Man of Steel either. Man of Steel to me was like, this is a different interpretation of Superman. You know, let's try it out. Let's see how it goes. So I think that just so many people are ready to defend Superman at the drop of a hat that they might just say, yes, I liked this movie.
Okay.
You know, people hate Superman, and that's why they didn't
like
it.
And what they're
movie.
Doing with that, they don't realize, is they're actually hurting their own movies by saying that they liked it and going to see it and having it make a ton of money. Because then they think they're doing something right. And you shouldn't do that. You should be like, this should be a great movie. You're not doing it right. Like what happened with Amazing Spider-Man 2? Mm-hmm. Like everyone's like, no, stop it.
Yeah.
This is awful. This is awful.
Well, didn't Batman vs. Superman set the record for the largest dip in money between opening weekend to its second weekend?
Anyway, can we get let's go to what your least favorite part of the movie
Thank
was.
Thank you so much for asking me about this. My least favorite part of this movie was a gentleman named Jesse Eisenberg. Jesse Eisenberg, I know, can be a good actor. I know that he can because I saw Social Network and I saw Zombieland.
Zombieland is super fun.
Yeah, and I think that this was... I honestly think that he was directed poorly in this. It was like
he was also written poorly. Just to throw that in there.
It's like somebody said to him, "Do the Joker.
Yeah.
Just be the Joker again. And if you can't do a good Joker, that's fine. Just do whatever you think you can do." And that's what we got was like a 60% Joker. Impression in this movie.
God, it's awful. It's so annoying.
Now let's talk a little bit about character alignment. Are you familiar with character alignment?
Explain.
All right, it's something that I've been very much into lately, and it comes from D&D and
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah.
Cool.
So when you build a character,
half the people just shut off this thing.
but maybe like 10% just turned it up. So in Dungeons and Dragons, when you create a character, you have to put them on a spectrum from it's like a 3x3 grid and it goes from lawful to chaotic, from like left to right, and then from good to evil from top to bottom. Okay. So somebody is like lawful good or neutral good or chaotic good and all that.
I get this.
So and my belief is that Superman should be lawful good.
Yep.
He follows the law. He works with the system. He is like he is a force for good, and he always does the right thing.
That's the thing. He has all the power to do whatever he wants.
Yes.
And he like that's the because it's very difficult to make him interesting otherwise because he is like undefeatable and he has all these powers. So to make him interesting is he could do whatever he wants. He's basically a god, and he chooses to always do the right thing and do it that way. So that's an interesting, and then you fall like, ooh, but there's gray areas there, you
kind
know,
of.
Like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, go on.
Well, yeah. So Superman is going to be lawful good. Batman should be chaotic good, where he's working outside the system. He's a vigilante. You know, he's not following the law. He's doing good the way he thinks it should be done. And then Lex Luthor, who should be more lawful evil, where he is a part of the system and he uses the government and he uses like You know, he is a member of society that is almost respected, and but also has all of these evil intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, Lex Luthor was so far outside the system and was just like this maniac who anybody that talked to him would say, this man is unstable,
yeah,
and should not be put in charge of anything.
Oh, no, but it's okay. We'll give you the keys to the ship and allow you to swim around in a pool with with Michael Shannon.
Right. Yes, the pool scene was very tender in this movie.
How does anybody, like, again, not,
everybody
not
from everybody that turned off from D&D can come
we're
back.
We're back. Okay, so look, to be fair, before we get into more why I hate Zack Snyder and other thoughts I have on this film, let's talk about the things that we liked, to be fair.
Okay.
That's
how we should have been doing it. We should have been alternating something I hated and something I liked.
Well, we're doing it now. I really like Batman killing people.
Oh.
I feel like it's completely necessary in the universe of Batman versus Superman, where you think that Batman wants to kill Superman. I feel like he needs to be like a little bit like, oh, he's so jarred, he's taken out the Joker, he's taken out these other people, and he's kind of lost it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little older. I like that part of it. I like the Batman arc of this. Uh-huh. I like this Batman. I like this. I guess I just really like really dark things.
Sure. Yes, I do think, I think Ben Affleck was a great Batman.
I did a good job. Yeah.
I thought, you know, like the costume was great. I thought the Batmobile was awesome also.
Oh, God. Such a cool, not as meaty. I do love the Tumbler.
Yeah.
That's like a big meaty strong one. So it feels like they took the Tumbler and they kind of made it like a little bit more skeletony, a little bit more nimble, a little bit like kind of creepier.
Yeah,
and I like it.
Well, yeah. So, but in terms of Batman killing somebody,
yeah, how do you feel on that?
I think that should always be the line that the hero doesn't cross. Now, there's a great Marvel storyline. You asked me to come on this podcast. You took me off my leash when it came to comic book references. But there's a great Daredevil storyline, which it seems like they are building up to in the Netflix show now, where Daredevil kind of snaps and kills Bullseye, who is his
the main
nemesis.
Yeah.
And all of the other superheroes in the Marvel universe like kind of freak out over that, where they're like, you can't kill. You know, it doesn't matter what this guy does. It doesn't matter how bad he is. We have to stand above these villains in some way. And once we start killing people, that's where we've crossed the line. And there's a great kind of like dynamic between the Punisher and all of these other superheroes, because when he shows up, they hate him. And they're like, get out of here. You're a thug. You're a punk. Like, even though mm-hmm. you're doing the right thing, you're killing people, which is not what the heroes do.
Yeah.
So that's why I think
Sorry, real quick. The Punisher. Yes. I thought the Punisher killed people. The
Punisher does kill people.
So he was not cool with it?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. The other superheroes, like Captain America and all them, that was their response. That's kind of their response to the Punisher, is that they don't like him. They don't, you know.
Okay, got
they,
it.
They don't think he should be doing what he's doing. But so Daredevil kind of crossing that line was what pushed them to kind of unite and try and stop him.
Okay.
I do really enjoy a darker Batman, but at the same time, he's supposed to be a hero, you know?
Yeah.
And neither Superman or Batman are heroes in this movie.
Oh, now we're going back to things we don't like.
Sorry, I'll save that one.
But we already touched on it. Once you touch on a nerve like that, Batman and Superman in Man of Steel and in this movie kill more innocent people.
Yes.
Then the bad
Doomsday
guys.
Doomsday does.
Yeah. But also, wouldn't you say that Doomsday is a bad guy, and Doomsday, the only way to get rid of Doomsday is to kill him?
Yes.
So that's fine?
Yes, I do think that...
Because he's not human?
Well,
you
yes.
You racist.
I'm
a speciesist.
I'm xeno-racist, if anything. Absolutely. That Doomsday needs to be stopped. However, in the comics,
it doesn't matter. We're talking about the movie.
Yeah, but in the comics, Doomsday cannot be killed.
Yes.
He is, you know, every time you kill him, he comes back and is immune to whatever killed him.
Whatever killed him. That's what makes Doomsday so awesome, is because he is basically just a superhero based on evolution.
Yeah.
Like, whatever kills him makes him stronger, and he dies over and over again and just makes him more and more angry and blah, blah, blah. Like, his backstory is amazing,
mm-hmm.
and how he kills Superman is amazing in that storyline. Like, that's actually something I know about, because that's the comic books I actually read.
Yeah.
Him in this movie is awful. But anyway, yes. Can we talk about what you enjoyed about the movie yourself?
Yes, absolutely. So I also really enjoyed Wonder Woman in this movie.
Cool.
I thought it was a wonderful way to bring her into the fold, kind of as mm-hmm. this mysterious person who just kind of is like showing up and is observing how Batman and Superman are interacting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like she's just there to witness this evolution of like super beings coming into coming like to the forefront.
Yeah, and I like how she's her own thing,
right?
And she's not directly affected by them right away.
Yes.
I'm kind of like, hey, no, I'm my own person.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own stuff to care about. I'm trying to do my own thing, Batman.
Yeah,
like thanks for your stuff. See you later.
Yeah, and also Gal Gadot.
Whatever.
Gadot?
If people are going to be upset.
Waiting for Gadot. I think that she played it perfectly in this movie.
She did great.
Yeah. So yeah, that is something that I did.
My only qualm about her is that she doesn't really kick it. People are going to be like, she did kick butt. She didn't really kick butt in this movie.
She didn't kick too much butt.
She showed up for Doomsday and got her butt kicked.
Kind of.
But like, I kind of wish that she came in another way. I felt like it was kind of wasted. They did build this. They did a great job of building that character. I feel like they did a great job of building Batman. I think they did a great job of building kind of what Superman was, but kind of dropped the ball on Superman. I didn't hate Man of Steel. I did not enjoy Man of Steel. I watched it and I was kind of like, meh.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the next one will be better.
Yeah.
Oh, the next one's Batman versus Superman? Okay, maybe. Well, that makes sense. Now people are going to be upset because all the people died because he fucking destroyed buildings.
Oh, which is another thing that I liked. I liked that they didn't just gloss over all the destruction that happened in Man of Steel.
Yes.
That destruction was Batman's inciting incident to kind of, you know, go after Superman. I loved that. I loved that they acknowledged this massive event that happened and didn't just kind of pass it off as that's just what superheroes do.
Yeah, and it was amazing. That part is great because it's like, it's Superman who's new to his power, like new to using his powers.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, you know, these things are happening. I mean, he could have probably been a little bit more aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
But still, like, cool. This sets up how he could be viewed as a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
Any other good things that you would like to say about the movie?
Oh, what else did I like? I didn't hate the fight between Batman and Superman. I thought that it was, maybe my favorite shot of the movie was when the kryptonite is wearing off on Superman and Batman is punching him and Superman's head moves, but then with every punch, his head moves a little bit less until Batman is just punching a solid wall.
I thought
that was a really cool shot.
There are parts of that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. There are parts of it where I'm like, I'm sick of the same thing happened in Man of Steel. Really strong guy, another really strong guy. They hit each other really far. They go crashing through buildings.
Yeah.
Then the guy gets up, and then the other guy hits him and goes crashing through buildings. It's literally just like howitzer. Like,
mm-hmm.
big hit. I kind of want like big hit, slow, little hit, like something more original, something more like, ooh, how would Batman use something to hurt Superman?
Yeah.
Besides just hitting him and throwing him so far, because it seems also counterproductive to hit somebody really hard, really far away, because then you got to go all the way over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. And actually, the thing that I really didn't understand was why when Batman shot him with a kryptonite gas grenade, that Superman didn't move out of the cloud of kryptonite.
He stayed in there. Well. Yeah. To be fair, Superman doesn't know about kryptonite right away.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So maybe he's like, what's going
on?
You just shot me. Because he's not used to moving away from anything.
Yeah.
So I don't think maybe he doesn't know about it. Also, do you think that the gas kryptonite is the best way to try and take him down.
Oh, I think it was a good way.
Is there some way to, like, couldn't you incorporate that into your suit somehow?
Oh, well, you know, in Dark Knight Returns, he has kryptonite knuckles on the suit.
Yeah, why not do that?
No.
Why is that not better? Because the gas goes away.
Right, but it gets in his lungs.
Okay, well then...
It's in the atmosphere.
But it seems to go away pretty. It seems to go away pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have a very potent form of it.
Okay, now I would like to talk real quick before we get...
Yes,
before
let's
we get
talk.
Lost.
Yeah.
I want to talk about... So people are like, oh, you're shitting on this movie. Mm-hmm. How would you make it better? Like, what? So I don't
thank
think
you for asking.
Yes. So do you want to go first or
no,
do you want me to go
please.
First?
Please. It's your podcast.
It's our podcast.
Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. I wrote something down. First off, we get rid of the Batman backstory part because we all know Batman's backstory. Mm-hmm. So that beginning, I think everyone knows Batman's parents died. He and in some form or another was inspired by bats to become the Dark Knight. Completely unnecessary. When that started out the movie, I'm like, oh, great. We're starting off awful. Why did I feel to put that in the movie? Oh, so the time that you waste on Batman, instead of that, you use it on Lex. Why is he the bad guy? Why does he need Superman gone? Mm-hmm. We could also build up that Batman doesn't hate Superman right away, but it's more of like, I don't trust this guy. Things don't add up. I don't like him, but like not that intense hate. Maybe then try to get a meeting where Superman and Batman meet, and either as their alter egos, and they kind of rub each other the wrong way. And the way that it was shown in the movie, I did not like. Also, more about Batman being old, besides the whole, like, I'm getting too old for this garbage. Like, maybe you could use a scene where he's fighting people and he's a little slow and he gets, like, hurt or something like that.
Yeah, show me.
Show me that. More about the suit that he develops, just in case Superman, who isn't who he says he is, because the suit's just kind of introduced with very little fanfare. Mm-hmm. So after that, we find out that Lex Luthor devises a fantastic plan to frame Superman and make him look like he purposely killed people. Mm-hmm. So either like that scene where he blows up the congressional hearing.
Ugh.
Or something where he's framed. And it looks like Superman feels like he's a god and he hates being toyed with, blah, blah, blah. Because in the movie, finding out who caused that big explosion, they found out within like minutes, and like, that would take weeks, if not months or years to do the forensics on that. So I felt like, add on to that. I stole this idea from you when you told me something.
Oh, great.
When in that plan where a big explosion happened, like a terrorist thing that he's framed for, Wilfred is a part of that.
Alfred,
sorry. Wilfred the dog from the TV series. Alfred is a part of that.
Huge comic fan. Robert Bacon sitting across from me.
Alfred is a part of that and dies. It's because he was like doing detective and scouting work on Superman during the time that he dies. This sends Batman into an angry rage. Instead of doing what Batman would normally do, which is be smart and investigate, he decides it's time to kill Superman or take him down because he's enraged. Batman kidnaps Lois Lane and sets up a trap for Superman using weapons much like he does in the movie, but the fights are more original than one bad guy hit another. We already talked on this. Superman saves Lois and escapes by the skin of his teeth. Lois works on finding evidence to prove that
it's like you're trying to avoid copyright infringement.
I am
this or
right
something.
Here. So Superman. Lois works on finding evidence to prove that Lex set Superman up, and blah blah blah. So Batman's not angry at him. During this time, Wonder Woman can be introduced with slight hints about the upcoming Justice League movie that we also touched on, just slight ones, not huge ones. Lex is now adding to his plan by making a monster, Doomsday, that'll be introduced at the end of the film, but that will take too long. So he also has another plan to like make other things, and that'll be the big climax at the end of this movie. I don't know, maybe towards the end, like maybe Lex works with a Batman villain, so we get that kind of crossover at the end for that kind of end fight instead of the Doomsday one. Blah, blah, blah.
Lex and the Penguin are running around again.
Yeah, like something like that. So basically, the second fight that Batman and Superman has, the truth comes out, and then Batman goes to do his own investigating and finds out that Superman didn't do all that stuff, and they team up together to take out Lex and the other super bad guy and defeat Lex and the bad guy. But just as that time, it's not in time for Doomsday to come up, and blah blah blah. And then I even wrote, like, for the next movie. The next movie, they fight Doomsday early on. Superman dies, and the Justice League is formed. Into that movie, Superman comes back to life, and they set up the fourth and final movie. Again, this is all done with me sitting down at a computer in 10 minutes and slapping something together. Of course, there's holes in it, but, like, I feel like that might have been a little bit more interesting. What do you feel about that?
Yeah,
what
do you say? I do. I really like that. I think that this movie tried to do so much, like, you know, the movie that we got tried to do way too much, and it really didn't need to. I think you solved a lot of that by just moving things back a little bit. I do agree that Doomsday did not need to be in this movie, but it would be cool to see some, like, hint of him to come.
Yeah, he comes in so he comes in so late, and to me, it just feels like Doomsday, considering Doomsday. To me, Doomsday is the ultimate bad guy. He is amazing to me. He's the Joker to Batman.
To Superman?
To Superman. He is the Batman to the...
It's infuriating to listen to you talk about comic books.
Batman has Joker. Superman has Doomsday. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's a great character to have. Anyway.
Okay.
So that's mine.
Yeah.
What do you have?
What do I have? Well, buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, and Zack Snyder takes.
Hope you guys
notes.
Are ready for some Star Wars crossover.
Yes. If I could work the Jedi into this, I would. So mine. First of all, I'm gonna have to go back into Man of Steel and change the fact that that Lois Lane knows that Clark Kent is Superman. That's something that really bothered me.
Okay.
Because you need Clark Kent being jealous of himself. I love that dynamic, you know, that like
fun.
Lois Lane is in love with Superman, but Clark Kent is in love with Lois Lane, and he's so mad that she loves Superman and not him.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. But anyways, so mine is going to start, and we're going to start with that, the scene of destruction of, like, Superman fighting Zod.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I'm going to have Alfred in the
Wilfred.
In it's oh you know what you're right no we're, I'm gonna have Alfred in Wayne Tower when it gets knocked down.
Ooh.
And
Ooh, early on.
Oh yeah, yeah. And so then so you know, Bruce Wayne sees that, and that's what breaks him, because
cool.
That's his last family. I loved Jeremy Irons in this movie.
Cool.
But I don't think that they used him right.
Mm-hmm.
we can get everything that we need through flashbacks.
Got it.
With Alfred. And also Alfred, well, now I'm getting away from it.
Okay.
So we get that Alfred dies in that attack. Also, Lex Luthor, instead of like having this, Holly Hunter as this senator that he's kind of sparring with.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor is a senator instead, and
Ooh.
he's in this position of power, and he's kind of like rallying, trying to get this this movement going to like contain Superman, or to take him out, to make him illegal in
okay.
some way.
That's I like this.
But people aren't, you know, the public loves Superman, so they don't want that. They think he's doing fine as he is, and Superman is also kind of working for the government. He is, because that's his thing, is he's truth, justice, and the American way. So he is, in a way, he's fighting instead of putting the army at risk or something.
Cool.
You know,
he's
doing those missions.
Got it.
And
he
he's
like
happy
this,
to do
the
it.
SEAL Team 6.
Right, yeah. And he's doing it for democracy, and he's doing it for all the right reasons, you know.
Yeah.
Until Lex Luthor gets him... Or manipulates Superman, sets him up in some way that he kills innocents when he's on one
cool.
of these missions.
Cool.
And that's when the public opinion kind of turns on Superman. And then that's when everybody starts saying, oh, maybe Lex was right. This guy does have too much power. He can do anything. And also, that's when Batman decides that he's the one to stop Superman.
Cool.
Because all the people are crying out. They're like, we do want to stop him, but who can stop him?
Batman.
Who
can?
And then Batman's like, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
And he
made a suit.
Yes. And then Batman comes out and fights Superman. And we don't, you know, I don't think that Superman necessarily needs a reason to hate Batman other than Superman is going to die if he doesn't fight Batman off.
You don't need to know.
Yeah, and Batman is very cunning and has laid all of these traps that make Superman realize that he will die if he doesn't fight this guy. And then they eventually like reconcile their differences. They reconcile their differences is my one sentence way of,
cool.
of summing up maybe the crux of my movie.
Hey, you know what though? If we're gonna just real quick, the crux of this movie is how they reconcile their differences is their moms have the same name.
Yeah. And I think I would keep that. No, I would not.
I almost punched you.
But yeah, and then the oh, also Wonder Woman is we never see her as Wonder Woman, but we do see this character who is like popping up every once in a while mm-hmm. and seems to have a secret and has a mission. And then so we just get the Batman Superman fight.
Great.
Then the end of the movie is the two of them going to confront Lex Luthor. And Lex Luthor just being like, you have no evidence that mm-hmm. I had any part of this. Mm-hmm. He's destroyed all of the evidence. He's killed anybody that knew anything about it.
Cool.
He's untouchable. And, you know, and he goes, if you try and do anything to me, you are assaulting a U.S. senator.
Okay.
And so he's got them and they can't do anything to him. And they're the only two people in the world that know what he's done and how evil he is. So he lives on
fair, I'm sorry, to go back to, wasn't that kind of the way that it was back in the old Superman movies? Is that like nobody else really knew that Lex Luthor was bad?
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of like,
that was
like,
a little vague.
He ends up in jail at the end of every movie, I think, but
that doesn't make any sense.
But that's also Lex Luthor's thing in the comics also, is that like he gets put in prison, but then he like cures a disease, so then they have to let him back out.
Okay, and, that's you know, what like, it is.
And he keeps winning back the public favor. He gets elected president for a while in the comics.
Okay, go on with your side.
Yeah, and so but then the movie ends with what was the first couple frames of Death of Superman, which is like Doomsday punching at this wall, trying to get out of whatever he's contained in.
Yes,
and then we don't even, and then we go and we do the other Justice League movies. You know, we find out about Wonder Woman, we find out about Aquaman, we find out about Flash, Cyborg, all of them. And then the Justice League is fighting Doomsday. In their movie, it's the Justice League versus Doomsday.
Is Superman dead in that? I just feel like
Superman dies at the end of the Justice League movie.
Okay, that's what you... I just feel... For me, it's like Superman dies, and that's what forms the Justice League, is kind of what I would like. I know it probably goes against everything in the comic books.
Yeah, because Superman... Like, Superman is the... He's the leader of the Justice League, and he's the rallying... You know, like, he's the one that convinces them.
But he would be the leader and the rallying point through his death.
Yes.
It brings them all together.
Oh, sure. Well, maybe... And maybe the Justice League movie is them not wanting to cooperate with each other and not getting along, and then Superman dies, and then it's like then they build their moon tower
in Teen Titans.
Yeah,
that's exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah,
yes, exactly. All right, I like that too.
Thank you.
Both these better. I feel like if you sat down with a bunch of people, they'd be able to come up with other stuff.
Sure. Yeah, if you sat down with like Rob Grabowski on his podcast, the he could probably come up with
that's
something.
Basically what we just did. You guys check out the remake if you haven't. It's fantastic. Anything like something else that you didn't like? I mean, I was gonna say I don't like the how they built up Doomsday. We kind of touched on that. I don't think
Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten a single name right.
I got this right. Pack Miter. films, movies. I wrote this down when I was watching the movie. Zack Snyder films movies so you could watch them on your phone or in the back of a headrest on an airplane.
Oh.
On an airplane. Everything is so close and so simple. The fight scenes are nothing more than powerful thing hits another powerful thing and flies off screen. Mm-hmm. There's no cool camera work. There's no good cinematography. There's no telling story through visuals. Everything is told through talking. A bunch of the story is told through clips from newscasts. I mean, Jesus Christ. Movies need to stop doing this. Can we just have, like, smart dialogue where people talk about things?
Yeah.
Instead of just showing, like, this is what public opinion is.
But also, have you seen Watchmen?
No.
Okay. Watchmen, which Zack Snyder directed, yeah. He does the opening montage is one of the greatest, like, storytelling things I've ever seen, where he gives you every character's origin story. He gives you so much information in 3 minutes through a montage. That's great. And
okay.
I feel like he could have done.
I thought a lot of people didn't like that movie.
It's divisive.
God,
but,
that's all his movies.
Yeah.
Except for 300, which everyone loved. And at the time when I saw that movie, I was still like, I don't think I really like this movie, because I feel like it could have been, like, so much better and had so much, like, emotion to it, but it didn't. It was just kind of fun to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he was a director of photography for a long time or something.
Okay.
Before he started directing movies. But, let me just see, because we had...
I wrote something down about Drive.
Where the
movie Drive. I was going to say, because I love dark, like, I love that, I love the take on it. I love it being really dark and, mm-hmm. like, and then all it made me think of was the movie Drive, which uses a lot of visuals to explain the story. And the main character in Drive is kind of like a superhero in a way of, like, he's the hero. He's the White Knight, but he's also kind of a psychopath.
Okay.
Have you seen this movie?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's amazing.
I only watch things with superheroes.
Okay, well, Drive is about a superhero.
Oh, wow.
He drives a car. he's got a scorpion jacket.
This is how you got me to watch Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah,
also,
okay.
Was you told me it was a superhero.
It is. So, Morgan Freeman's a superhero who's been locked up.
Yeah, I still don't get it. Why didn't he ever use his powers?
His powers were freckles.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Anyway, you should check out Drive. It's dark, it's depressing, it's gritty, it's violent, it's amazing. It's well shot, the score is fantastic, the music in this, the score in this movie is so, it's for dumb people. Right? It's, how should I feel about what's going on right now? Oh, the movie's telling me.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, but let's just conclude with talking about how Superman should be and how he was in this movie. Like, Superman should be, in my opinion, should be charming.
Check.
Should be charismatic.
Check.
Should be should be undeniably a beacon of good.
Check.
And he should be humble also.
Check. Yeah. Always humble, because that's the main thing, because otherwise he's just a giant tool.
Right. And that the scene when the Capitol blows up and Superman is in it, he looks around at all of these dead people and all of this damage.
Kind of
and
annoyed.
Leaves. Yeah, like a little put out that it happened. Whereas, like, it would have done so much for me if you had shown him, like, walking out and going to the police and saying, I don't know what happened, but how can I help? Like, what do you want me to do?
He helped nobody.
Yeah.
He left. Giant explosion happened. Well, see you later.
Nothing for me to do here.
You're Superman. You're so powerful, you could zoom around, it'll take you 2 minutes, clean up this mess.
Find any survivors.
Put out a fire. Does he have super breath in these movies?
If he has, we haven't seen it yet.
That's true?
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if Man of Steel he had super breath.
I don't think he had it in Man of Steel.
Do you know that the original Superman was just able to, like, he couldn't fly, he could just jump really high.
Leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Yeah, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, I think when they went to go make it on TV, they're like, this looks really stupid.
It was kind of like every superhero got a huge power boost in the, like, 50s and 60s. Okay. To where, you know, like, and also in those days, Superman got a new power every.
Oh,
like every
the laser
single,
eyes was like really late, I
oh,
think, right?
He got laser eyes. I mean, I have a comic from the 60s where he has super ventriloquism is
oh,
one
I know
of his
that
powers.
One. Yep.
Yeah.
Super hearing, super yeah. everything.
There's one, like, I think there was one where he can tell who's calling when he looks at a phone that's ringing.
Oh, he has caller ID.
Yeah, like, they just gave him all of these insane powers.
I'll tell you what Superman should have. He should have maps. He should have multifunction.
Yeah.
He should have a pencil that I could use on him.
Mm-hmm. He needs to be an iPhone.
He needs to be quick charging.
Yeah.
Wireless charging. He yeah. charges by the sun.
Oh, and also, Superman, it looked to me like... What he flew Doomsday into outer space. They nuked him.
Oh god, we talked
for some reason.
Oh my god,
yeah.
Superman is doing a fantastic job of getting rid of Doomsday.
Yeah,
he is hitting him into space.
Uh-huh.
Everything is going fantastic. Superman is taking him out of the atmosphere, and there's a bunch of people who, by the way, have a map
uh-huh.
of space above Metropolis.
Yeah.
Just already up. We
yeah.
have this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's up before it even happens behind them if you watch the movie. Real stupid.
And they've also tagged both Superman and Doomsday.
They have that technology.
On it. Yeah.
They got them. And they're like, hey, Mr. President, we should nuke him.
Yeah.
What? He's doing fine. You don't even know that that's going to do anything.
Yeah.
Oh my
no,
God.
No. Haven't we already established at that point that he absorbs energy?
Yeah.
That Doomsday feeds on energy?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hey, maybe we should just... Well, it's worth the risk.
Let's nuke him. Oops.
Oh, oops.
It looks like we killed Superman by accident.
Oh, it made the other guy stronger.
But also, Superman dies up there in space. The sun heals him.
Yep.
And he comes back and then dies again 20 minutes later.
Getting stabbed in the chest because of...
Getting stabbed in the chest. And nobody... But then also, come on, guys... I know that Superman is going to come back, but commit to your ending.
Oh, God.
Please. Like, if you kill Superman, the last shot of the movie was him coming back, basically. It was like the dirt moving up.
The dirt moving
the
up
cop.
Is, that's it. You would have like 5 minutes of him being dead.
Just leave him dead
that
for
would
now.
Be like,
I know he's coming back, but...
It would be like watching Inception and that last shot, which is supposed to be ambiguous to the audience and... open for interpretation, the top falls over.
Right, yeah.
And you're like, oh, cool.
Or no, the top falls over and somebody comes out and says, by the way, it wasn't a dream.
It's so... Talks down to the audience. Mm-hmm. So much of, like, you can't know what's going on. And they have to, like... They even explain, like, they show two coffins being buried. And I'm like, yeah, well, the real Superman's in the wood one.
Uh-huh.
And I get, like, you're showing me visually that, like, everyone's mourning, like, a cool coffin. But it's
nothing.
Oh,
see, I thought they were burying Doomsday in one of those coffins.
Well, yeah, why not bury Doomsday?
Yeah.
He deserves a hero's bury. And they have to explain, like, oh, everyone's really mourning an empty casket. I'm like, yeah, I get it, you idiots. Who is this movie for? Is it... Oh, it can't be for... young, super young people, because they're not going to get what's going on. It's too dark. It's too violent.
It's way too dark, yeah.
It just made me upset. The whole movie made me upset. I'm really upset that it wasn't good. I really, really wanted it to be good.
I so wanted it to be good.
Anyway, anything you want to say before we're done here? We talked for an hour. I feel like it's about much time. We're about halfway through the movie.
Not even. No, Superman and Batman haven't even met each other yet.
Nope.
If you're watching
No,
the
right
movie.
About now, probably. Yeah. About an hour.
Hang on. No, it's now.
And hit him with his car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
Batman gets out and goes, what the fuck? Stand in the middle of the road.
Want to exchange insurance information?
Yeah. You know, well, you hit my boat that was just dry docked back there.
I'll just close with I love Superman, I love Batman, but I did not like this movie.
Nothing. That's it. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. I'm Robert Bacon.
I'm James Dugan.
And keep watching movies.
Goodbye.
That is this week's episode of Try This Podcast. If you like this podcast and want to hear more, you can listen to all our episodes
on trythispodcast.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or Pocket Cast. If we're not on your favorite podcasting service and you want us on there, just email us at trythispodcast@gmail.com or write on our Facebook page, and we'll try our best to get on there for you. Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have a whole new guest, and we'll do the podcast that they have always wanted to do. I'm Robert Bacon. Keep trying.
We went and tried this and saw what transpired. This particular podcast filled our desires. We had a lot of fun and it was full of wit. Robert Bacon was our host and he's full of shit. We went and tried this. Now that it's done, it's been done, but never was before we did it ever. Podcast.
You're drunk.